Hey, it's Roy Richardson, your friendly neighborhood tech troublemaker, and tonight's episode is about passwords and password managers. If you have used the same password at every website you've ever logged into, then please watch this episode tonight. We need to talk to you about that. We really do need to talk about that. So we're going to talk about common password mistakes, and then we're going to talk about how to make your life easier by having password managers so your brain doesn't blow up trying to remember all of those passwords. So, you know, trust me, okay, you'll have to remember one password, and it needs to be a really, well, we'll talk about that. We'll get to that. So my guest tonight is none other than Eric Villardo, who is the Cyber Papa. If you've seen him, he's got a great YouTube channel where he has, wow, how many nights a week you go live? Because it sure seems like you go live a lot of nights of the week. Talking about security. One night a week. Okay.
One night a week.
Yep. So, Eric, previously in U.S. Army military intelligence, I know that's an oxymoron, military intelligence in the military. It's okay. I was in the military. There are really bright people in the military, I'm telling you. And he's got over 30 years of cybersecurity experience and online safety experience, and he has worked with multiple countries, the Department of Defense, and under international and financial and civilian markets, and just going through all the stuff he's done, it's just amazing. You know, biz continuity, disaster recovery, these are all buzzwords that I live and breathe every day, but I don't do on this show. So we'll just skip that. We're going to go right to talking about cybersecurity and passwords. And let's go here. Ta-da! All right. Hey, Eric. Tell us, what did I miss? You know, I should have said more, right? Because I could have probably introduced you for 30 minutes if I talked to all your qualifications. That would have just got us, well, we could do multiple episodes about your qualifications. But, you know, just, hey, shout out and tell us a little bit about yourself that I didn't cover.
All right. Well, again, thank you very much for having me on the show. My name is Eric Lardo, and I am known out there as the Cyber Papa. Long story, we'll get into that a little bit later, but I've been in the cybersecurity world before it was sexy, about 32 years this year. Started out my career at the University of Massachusetts, worked through a lot of the, you know, early mainframes and data centers in DC. Then I joined the military, spent 8 years working with both the U.S. Army here in the United States and NATO overseas, and then spent 20 years in the D.C. going through every three-letter agency. And the last 10, 12 years of my career, I've been doing international healthcare, mergers and acquisition, and I've done everything from being an engineer all the way to being a chief information security officer.
Let's jump on the first topic tonight. The first topic tonight is passwords. And so here we go with, as I like to say, let's go to the boards. So here are the rules for great passwords. So first of all, I want to feature some of the worst passwords of 2021. Of course, the standards 123456, password 12345, 123456789. These are awesome. Password 1, at least there's a little complexity there, a little, but none of these have any capitalization or anything. And we're going to talk about bad passwords here in a minute. Fluffy is my favorite, and actually, I put that one there. It was a joke. We had hackers at a company that I work for, tried to get into a system, and they kept using the password Fluffy. I have no idea what that was about, but they just assumed we would set the root password to Fluffy and just kept typing that password in over and over again. I don't know where they got their information, but I just thought that was hilarious.
Wow. And you're missing the ones that we find all the time, which is like summer 2021 or winter 2021 or, spring 2021. And they change, you know, some of the users change it based on that. And believe it or not, that is found a lot.
Wow. Yeah. I see, being in IT as long as I have, I always cringe when pick somebody's keyboard, I lift it up, and there it is on the sticky note. Or, oh yeah, my password is blah. No, no, do not tell me your password. I'm not supposed to know your password. I don't want to know it. Don't tell
me. So here's a funny on that one. Okay, so there's a now that everybody's working from home, there's a big discussion right now about password managers. Okay, and we're going to get to that. But when you're in the office and having those sticky notes with your passwords, that's bad. We teach people not to do that. But now if you look at the threat and the threat model, you know, you're sitting at home, you've got all these things, and people have been selling these password manager books, okay, where people are writing it. And as for 20 years, we're telling people, don't write your password down, right? But now the threat model, which is the reason we tell people not to write it, is because you're in an office, somebody can come by and pick it up. Well, now you're working from home. Now you're in your area here. Is it as safe to write them down so that you have different passwords if you're not using a password manager? Is it an easier thing so that you can have different passwords? And there's a big discussion in the industry right now is, should a person that works solely from home and only their family is there, should they write it down? And there's a lot of discussion about this.
I only put my bank passwords in a book on my desk, so it's okay. Just the bank ones. The rest of them, I keep them, you know, I keep them somewhere else. But, yeah, I mean, we're going to get the password managers. And password managers, folks watching, this is going to make your life amazing. Let's go. Anyway, oops. My wife Donna says, hey, Eric, thanks for being on the show. We appreciate your knowledge and expertise. I definitely appreciate that. And Mommy God, hey, Mommy God. Lala is so awesome. She is celebrating 1 year of live streaming this week. And so just been awesome. Been watching a lot of her stuff. And then
Eric, I think I was in one of her first live streams of the first there. Yeah.
And now you're YouTube famous now because his channel just finally hit a big landmark this week. So I'm going to tell you where his channel is. You're going to have to go see it. So I'm not even going to tell you what the big surprise is, but go watch his channel. I promise you, you will be glad you did. And you'll find out stuff like crypto.com got hacked early in the week. Just now revealed early in the week that they got hacked. Anyway. All right. Yeah. Next up. So, let's talk about passwords and best practices. So, long passwords are the best. A long password makes it so much harder for password crackers to figure out. So, hackers will take these basically databases of words, and they will go through and run it against, they'll get hashes. So basically, the internet has all these password dumps where hackers have gone through and compromised some website and stolen their password database and sold it on the internet. They often sell it, or even worse, they give it away. And so then, you know, they're running against these hashes to find all these different passwords and stuff. So, for example, NIST says you should have at least a 16-character password. That, if it's a good password with 16 characters, should take about 16.5 trillion years to crack. And if it was a 20-character password, it's astronomical.
Well, what I try to tell people is people start thinking, oh, passwords. The word password is give me one thing that's really long. Yeah. I like to tell people, use the concept of passphrase.
Yes.
Okay. Use the concept of passphrase. It's easier on your mind. So think of it like a song. You know, I always tell them love for my cat or something like that. You just use 12 to 16 characters in there by just thinking that way. You know, and if you think that way, it's going to be easier for you to remember it. And, you know, the other point is use, you know, in these passphrases, we always tell you to use capital letters, numbers, and replace kind of your I's or your Z or your O's with zeros. And that way you have a very long, complex password.
I will tell you though, well, we're going to talk about password managers, but in KeePass, it does not make it very clear sometimes when something is a zero or a O.
Yeah.
It's a little crazy. But yeah, so just like you're talking about, use a phrase, something that you can remember. I jokingly said, two rows diversion, a yellow wood. I bet you didn't know passwords can even have spaces. And as he said, we'll talk in another slide, put crazy characters to substitute stuff like at symbols for the letter A and zeros for O's and, really make yourself crazy. Use L's to replace all the I's. No. But don't use this passphrase. I won't tell you why, but anyway. Next up, every site, you should have a unique password on every single site. Everything that requires a password, that password should be unique.
Asked a question.
Yeah, let's hit that. Yeah. Is it best to use different passwords for different accounts? Yes, it is. It absolutely is the best thing you possibly can do. You need to have a unique password. There should be a unicorn at every site you go to.
And let me tell you, so I'm going to say two things here. Number one, I'm going to give you a story, okay? And this has happened so many different times to people that I counsel, where their Gmail gets compromised, or they have, and you guys hear, Roy just said earlier that a site gets hacked. And what happens is the whenever you hear the word breach or data breach from a site, from the news, this site got a data breach. That means that they stole something, that the bad guys stole something. So what normally they go after is the passwords, and they pull that file of all the passwords. And then they go and they try to use that same password on your Gmail, on your Instagram, on your Facebook, on Twitter, or all that stuff. And 9 times out of 10, people are using the same passwords across. We've had people in sports, in entertainment, that have come to us and say, please help me, because we've gotten, hacked and all our accounts were taken over. So using a different password on each site is going to avoid that. If one major breach happens, then your other accounts are going to be safe. I give this normally, I try to tell people, use your passphrase that you've done, but add something else. Like, for instance, add FB or F at the beginning or at the end, so you remember that that's the password for Facebook, or I, or something like that. So some code that you come up with, that's kind of very easy to guess, but one code that you come up with so that you can differentiate your passwords or your passphrases across all your different accounts.
Absolutely. Before I was big into IT, I notoriously used the same password across multiple sites. And then, when I started seeing, wow, people are compromising these passwords, I'm like, oh, I need to change my password on every site. Mommy asked, how to remember all these passwords, especially for people with early onset dementia. So the challenge there, we'll get the password managers, and that may be the answer. I don't know if that's going to be the end-all be-all for that particular scenario, but if they can remember one complex master password and use that with their password managers, it will autofill the login for a lot of websites for them and make it easier. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. Next. So we were just talking about this. Use like at symbols for a zero for instead of O, an and symbol for number 3. If you can type it, you can probably use it in a password. One of the things that's frustrating me is I'll go to a site and they only let me use like an 8-character password. Like, what is wrong with these sites? Because we talked earlier, it should be at least a 16-character password. It really absolutely does. Especially if you're doing something like really, you know, financial data, something super, super important to your life, you need to have a very complex password. If your life can be ruined by somebody getting that password, it needs to be a really, really important password. It absolutely needs to be just a major password. So, and there's, even if you don't use a password manager, there are really good password generators out there that will generate you really complex passwords. Granted, you can't remember those. So again, we'll go back to password managers. I used to be able to remember like really complex passwords, but now I'm beyond the age of consent. I can't remember those anymore. So, yeah, so it's just tough. And then next up, so a password is not enough. If you, for example, your front door, you may have a lock, but you probably also have a deadbolt on your front door. So think of two-factor authentication as the password is your lock, and two-factor is the deadbolt you're also using on your door. The thing is, I know that for a big time, SMS messages, text messages from whoever was the way to go there for a bit. But those are slowly being compromised. People are cloning SIM cards. They're doing man-in-the-middle attacks, that type of thing. And so if you can avoid using SMS as a way to do two-factor, then do that. But if you can't, that is better than just having a single lock. So Blind Guy's Wife, Their Life, he says, Keyphrase does help me think of a better 16-character password. Yeah, absolutely. Keyphrases, whether, you know, a line of poetry, something. Don't do your favorite poem, because if, you know, that's, you know, everybody knows what your favorite poem is, they may figure you out. You just don't know.
But so, let's tell them, because a lot of people hear the word two-factor authentication, yes, but they don't understand what it means.
Right.
So when we talk about authentication, is number one is some, the first factor in authentication is something you know, which is your username and your password. Then two-factor is something you have. Okay, so something you know is your password. Something you have is your phone, your email, something different that I can use. Basically, think of it as a separate channel to communicate. Okay. And then third factor authentication, which we don't hear a lot, is something you are, which is biometrics, your eyes, your fingerprints. That's something you are. So when we talk about two-factor authentication, think of it as something I know, which is my password, which I have to enter it, and now something you have, which is your phone, your authenticator, and different device that's going to come with a second thing that you have. So it's very important. And I tell people, and are you going to pull one of the keys out?
Yeah.
A YubiKey. So a YubiKey is something you have, which is another authenticator. So it is very important that you understand that you need to separate your channels of authentication. So your password needs to be strong. But even now, a couple times a month, I get somebody that guessed my Twitter password, right? And I have to change it. And what saves me from getting my account taken over is that I get that SMS message that says, hey, this is your Twitter, you know, 6-digit character. Or I get a message that says, hey, your authenticator code is here. And that's when I say, somebody's trying to access my account. I go back to my computer, change my password, and tell them to go away.
Yeah. So I went with this. I went with the YubiKey style. This is actually Google Titan. I like it too. Same concept as the YubiKey. So it's a USB stick, and I have to plug this into my computer in order to be able to check my Gmail, to get in my YouTube account, that type of thing. And also, it has an NFC chip in it, so you can actually put it to your phone, and it will let you do stuff on your phone. So if you got Android, granted, it works so much easier on Android than it does on Apple devices, but it does work on Apple devices. Yeah. It's a little frustrating. I came from an Android world until recently, where we went with iPhone, so I miss my Android days. But I still love you, Google. I still love you. Anyway. It's not impersonal. Mind Begot says, so SMS is not okay. It is better than nothing. And, you know, yes. And unless you are like a target, you know, like a, what do they call, high value target, so to speak, you know, like you're a famous person, SMS is probably fine. Yeah. But if you are somebody famous, well, because Lala is famous. You know, Lala, you might want to think about something different because you are pretty famous now.
Zach and Sammy Superstar is here. So
Sammy Superstar is also famous and needs to find out a way to get something. So I use an app called Google Authenticator. With Microsoft products, I have a Microsoft Authenticator. It gives me a code, a one-time code that I have to type in every time I log in order to get into stuff. And so that adds a second layer of security. But for me, it started when Gmail would tell you when your account was used in a different place. And one day, I got a message that my email was being accessed in India. I'm like, I'm here. I'm not in India. I haven't been to India. I'd like to go there, but I've never been there. But somebody's is accessing my email from a different country. So immediately, I changed my password, of course, and then I went and bought a Google Titan. They have a Bluetooth version, but the Bluetooth has issues. Don't use that. Use the USB stick. The USB stick's the way to go. The pain, though, is if you don't carry it with you, it doesn't work out so well. So it's been a couple times where I didn't bring my USB stick. But, you know, it's just some way to lock it down. Authenticator Plus. Eric mentioned Authy, which is another one that's very popular. And so basically you can put an app on your phone, and then a lot of sites will generate a QR code. And you scan this QR code, and it will add an entry into your Authenticator app. And then next time you log in, well, then it'll generate a code for the first time log in. And then you'll log in the first time, and then after that you'll use the Authenticator for stuff after that. Of course, that hack on crypto.com bypass two-factor authentication, but that was probably a very advanced hack. That wasn't your usual hackers. So it's kind of like a locked door keeps honest people away, so to speak. Anyway, and but Lala, if you have two-factor and you use an SMS, that is fine. If you have options for better than that, I recommend looking into that. Eric, your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Like I said, if you have to use, first of all, I tell everybody, go right now and go to Twitter, go to Facebook, go to any of your social media accounts, enable two-factor, just right off the bat, do it. And the second part is if you have to use your SMS because that's all they have, then go ahead and do it. There's no shame in that game. Do it. If they allow you to use an authenticator, that would be better than using SMS. But for a, like Roy said, for a non-high value target, SMS is just fine. Okay.
Yep. Definitely agree with that. Yep. All right, and so I want to jump into my next topic here and say, oh, yeah, so the YubiKey might always get lost. Yes, that is a risk. It is a risk if you do lose things a lot. Like, yes, I do sometimes lose things a lot, which is why I had to tie a string around mine and hang it around my neck to make sure I had it. Mark says I always lose stuff. That's me. I always lose stuff. Yep. But
for my work stuff, I keep my YubiKey with you know, important stuff like my badge or something like that. And I keep that. Okay. So it's always with me. But you know, that's the challenge with hard token authenticators. Okay. There's RSA authenticators and other hard token authenticators that you have. So that's the challenge for those. But like I said, good SMS, better authenticator, really strong is your hardware tokens. Okay.
Yep. And it just depends on your little paranoia. Like Blind Guy says, that it's helpful to hear the good, the better, and the best options. So SMS is a good option. Authenticator apps are a better option, and a USB hard one is the best option. Or I remember the RSA devices until RSA got hacked. That was a sad time because I was a big fan of the RSA devices. So anyway, I've been through so many iterations of crazy. All right.
Every day is craziness in cyber.
Every day is crazy in cyber, yes. So, now I want to talk, the next topic I want to talk about is password managers. And Eric's going to tell you up front that any password manager is better than no password manager. We were talking about this before the show got started, and so I'm like, well, what's your favorite? I'm going to tell you what my favorite is, but it doesn't mean it's the best one. It just means that it's the one I prefer. But we're going to talk through some of the top five password managers out there. There's a couple others out there as well that could have easily fit in the top five, but it's kind of like I got to narrow it down to the top five because people like listicles. So let's talk about what is a password manager and why do I need one? Because if your passwords are complex, there's no way you're going to remember all those crazy passwords. I have hundreds of things I have to log into on, if not a daily basis, a weekly basis. And so I have to keep up with passwords somehow. And it used to be the thing I'll show you next. KeePass was the way I went with everything, but KeePass lacks portability. And we'll talk about that as well. So password managers, since passwords need to be unique and complex for every place you use a password, password managers allow you to store those complex passwords.
But Roy, let's make it even more simple. Sure. Okay. Please. For our audience out there, a password manager is nothing but a list of all your username and passwords stored in a secure vault. Think of it just like a box. It's a box that's as secure as it can be, that stores all your sites, all your usernames. And because it stores your passwords, you can do even more complex passwords in there. And when you go into the sites, you can call upon this program that will autofill all your information so you don't spend time or cycles in your brain, and it allows you to be more secure. Okay, so that's what a password manager is. Think of it as a box that you store all the passwords. The other cool thing that it does is you don't even have to create these passphrases. You go in there, you click generate a password, and it'll do a 20 character random password that not even you can remember, and it'll store it for you. So that when you go, next time you go to that website, you just click on your password manager and it'll autofill that password.
Yep. Yep, that is great. And Excel spreadsheets with a password on the spreadsheet is not the same as a password manager. Okay? Somebody said, oh, I've got a password on my spreadsheet that stores all my passwords. This is great. No, you know how easy it is to hack the password on an Excel spreadsheet? It is so easy. But anyway, I digress.
I have a funny story. So I was asked to do this investigation, and it was a criminal investigation. And they said, hey, we want you to investigate everything that's in this computer. And after doing the imaging and opening the desktop file, there was a spreadsheet with all the different passwords for all the different sites, for all the different things that they were doing. And within that spreadsheet also was a list of all their crimes that they were doing, because they kept track of everything. So I had to call about 40 or so district attorneys out to a meeting to give them all the crimes that they were supposed to do. So, yeah, so please, number one, don't store your passwords in an Excel or file on your desktop. And number two, don't put all your crimes in an Excel spreadsheet.
Right. Remember your passwords. Forget your crimes. That's really important. That's if you get nothing else from this show, forget your crimes. Don't keep track of those, but remember your passwords. So, the other reason I've pushed a password manager is because I've joked to my wife, one day I may get hit by a bus, and then you won't have access to our accounts, because I usually handle a lot of our stuff. It's not that she's not capable. She's more than capable, and maybe we'll be better at it. But she lets me keep stuff so I can feel like I'm important here at home. And, you know, so, and then she says, yeah, Roy makes me use one password, and I love it. It helps so much, and we can share and see each other's accounts. So, yes, so if I get hit by a bus, she'll still have access to all the important accounts. And so that's another reason for a password manager. Mm-hmm. So let's go now. All right. So KeePass. I love KeePass. I still use KeePass for certain circumstances. KeePass is an open source password manager. It doesn't autofill anything, but it does have a cool feature where you can go in and hit entry, double click on the entry, and it'll store the password in memory for however many seconds you allow it, or forever. I do recommend setting a timeout. And then you can paste it into whatever website you need or whatever app you need, or when I'm doing an SSH session into a Unix box or whatever. Yeah, it works fantastic for that. And I did find a way to kind of use it across multiple devices, but by default, it's on one machine, and that's it. So
it's definitely not user friendly, and we call it the OG of the password managers, because it was one of the first ones, and it's open source, it's managed by the community, and it's very functional. And I will tell you, because there are people out there that may be watching, mm-hmm. that KeePass is something that has a very rabid fan base. So it's a good system. It's just, I'll call it a little more advanced and non or less user-friendly.
It's like Unix. It's user-friendly. It's just very picky about its users.
Yeah.
Yeah. The downsides to it, there's no built-in sync, so it won't sync up to multiple locations. So it's on one device. There's no built-in integration with browsers, though there is a plugin for Chrome, an extension for Chrome that will allow it to work with your KeePass database. It's been a little kludgy. And then the other thing I hate is, though, even though this is open source, it's only available for Windows for free and Android for free. But if you seem to want to use it on any Apple device, all the compilations cost money. Everybody wants to charge you for an open source product because they took the code and put a little bit different front end, slightly change the name, and they want to sell you money. But it's open source, and so when I tried to get a Mac version or an iPhone version, it just wasn't out there without spending money, and that made me grumpy. I can tell you a hack around about the sync, though. I use a cloud drive, and I'll sync my password database to that, and then I can open up KeePass on multiple things. Of course, you want to make sure your cloud drive is very secure.
That's what I was going to say to you.
Yeah.
And so now you're introducing a different threat vector to that.
And it wasn't made for that, but that was my hack around. I only have like one password database that I do that with. All the rest I keep local on one machine.
But like you said, KeePass is a great tool, but you have to know how to use it and use it for the right reasons. Right. But definitely not for beginners, I'll say it that way.
Not for beginners, but this is the granddaddy. This is the OG. I love this program. So, Next up, Keepers. This is a pretty new entry to me that I just recently found out about. And it's got really good reviews. A lot of people say that the security on this, the way they lock down their password databases and the zero trust model they use, makes them considered a little more secure than some of the others we're going to talk about. And so they have a lot of respect from that standpoint. The free version, the downside of this is there is a free version, but it only works on one device, which kind of defeats the purpose of this. The upsides, I do love the security features that are built into it. They just really lock things down, which is what any company that's keeping my passwords should be doing. And then they have a secure chat. So if you're a paranoid person and you want to chat with people and you want to be highly secure, they have a fully encrypted chat program. I had never even heard of it, so obviously nobody's chatting with me with this program yet.
So the one thing about Keeper is that Keeper is the 2019, 20, and 21 best product by PC Mag on all the password managers. It is very strong and very user-friendly, and it allows you to do a lot of stuff and has authenticators, has a free version, and has a paid version. And it is a great, great program. And one of my favorite, when somebody asks me, which one can I use? And Keeper is one of the ones that we always say, yep, that's it. That's one of the good ones.
Blind guy's wife, their life says, I can remember when passwords were rare, and now it's like we need passwords to set passwords. Like when you have to know which email in order to retrieve your password. I can relate to that.
I forgot that one. I changed my password. Then it went to this email, but I forgot that email. So I changed the password to that email. Oh, yeah. It used to be. But with password managers, that's what you're avoiding. It's every time you go and you open an account, you save it to these password managers. That way you have a record of the password.
And of course I can relate because my wife fusses at me because I have so many different email accounts, but I have personal email accounts dedicated to different purposes. And I literally have one email account dedicated to getting spam. I'm interested in what you got to say, but I don't need your email in my face all the time. So this is the email address I give away for spam. And this is my quote unquote professional email address. And this is my other just, hey friends, how you doing type thing. So I've narrowed it down. I only use like a couple a lot, but I keep the others around just because, well, like for example, I've had a Hotmail email address since before Microsoft bought Hotmail. So I'm very proud of that and I've kept it. And then I have the email address I got back when Gmail was invite only. So I'm pretty happy, excited about that. So I keep it, but I don't use it for very much anymore. It's nostalgia, for what it's worth. All right. Next up, Dashlane. So Dashlane has pretty good security. It's a little expensive, but it has a feature that the others do not offer. It has built-in VPN. And I could literally do a separate video on what VPN is, but let's do the short version. Virtual private network. So all of the traffic of what you're doing is going between you and a server who's then acting as kind of a proxy for you. And if you're crazy enough to check your bank accounts in public places, you better be on VPN to protect all that traffic because it's so easy for people to kind of compromise you. But Eric, you had something you wanted to say there.
No, I was just giving visuals.
Oh, so, no, you can fix me. If I get it wrong, I can accept
it. For everybody to know, the easiest way to think of a VPN is I always say it this way. In the internet, it's like sending a postcard, okay? At any point in time, the U.S. Postal people that are looking at the postcard can read it, right? When you have a VPN, what you're doing is you're putting that postcard in an envelope. And that envelope allows you to have a little more privacy where people can't read the postcard as it's going through the mail. So think about it that way at the simplest level, okay? A VPN is a tunnel that encrypts all your communication and goes from point A to point B.
Yep. And I highly recommend using a VPN for a lot of personal stuff, but you know, it's not common practice yet. It will, as more and more hacks kind of continue. It helps you from a privacy standpoint. And then if you have a habit of trying to access things in public places, a VPN can help protect you because it's so easy to wind up on just the wrong wireless because it's so easy. Oh, Starbucks free Wi-Fi. There's a hacker sitting with a laptop who's got an access point set up, and you get the Starbucks, and you think, oh, it's a free Starbucks Wi-Fi. Let me just join that. And then everything you're doing, he's capturing all that traffic. So, but anyway, that's the benefit to Dashlane, is that not only is it a good password manager, it also has VPN capability. It's a little expensive, but that's because they offer VPN as a feature as part of that. So, next up, LastPass. So, I have friends who will tell me that LastPass is the greatest thing in the world, and I just get so tripped up. Of course, Eric and I were talking. Probably every password manager site's been hacked at some point, and LastPass has at least been hacked at least twice in the last about 4 years. And so I even have security friends that say, oh, LastPass is great. I'm like, but you do security for a living. I mean, Eric, what are your thoughts about LastPass?
Well, let me tell you, in 2016, there was a rash of all of these being hacked. MyPassword, Informa Tekor, LastPass, Keeper, F-Secure, Dashlane, Keep, Avast, and 1Password. They all had vulnerabilities. They all got hacked. Okay, so a lot of people think, oh, well, I'm not going to use this one because it's been hacked, or this or that or the other. I always say to everybody, listen, use a password manager. It doesn't matter which one you pick. Pick one that is easier for you to use or has the functionality that you want. LastPass, I've used it in an environment like a corporate environment. A lot of companies use LastPass because it has more of, on the paid side, it has more of the enterprise side work. So LastPass is a great utility for anybody, and it's now LogMeIn, and you know, they purchased it and did better with it. But it's another good password manager. So don't discount it because all of them have vulnerabilities that come up on a monthly, yearly, you know, way. So
the downside of the LastPass is the free version used to be great. And now that LogMeIn owns it, it's a money grab. And the free version is terrible now. I think it's down to where you can only sync it on one, only have it on one device now. And so, yeah.
And that's the challenge with some of these. So when you go with the free version or you go with the paid versions, they allow you different accounts. So you can only have up to these many accounts or on these devices, or the licensing is a little different in each one. That's why I said, look at the one that's going to give you the best functionality for you. Yeah.
The upside, LastPass is probably one of the most user-friendly of the password managers. It has a really great interface. It works really well. And so if you want something really easy to use and you're willing to pay money for it, probably LastPass is a great way to go.
Okay.
My personal favorite is 1Password, mainly because I've gotten some adoption in my house to use this. It does a fantastic job for me. I like the fact that the family plan, I think for them, I think it's an easy to use product. It has continued to get better and better. When I first got started with it, it was a little bumpy, and so it's a little hard for me to recommend, but it has gotten better and better. Works with all the browsers, because so does LastPass, so does Dashlane. All those work with every browser you could dream of using. LastPass and 1Password, LastPass has a Linux client, so if you're a Linux fan, you may want to go LastPass for that. I did not check to see if 1Password has a Linux version, but it may. But yeah, it does work with every browser that I use, and it works great for my family. It makes it really easy for me to share passwords in my family. So for me, this is a great, none of these are bad. And I looked up and got like a really great deal and got started with them. And it's been, I think it's good for the money. I think it's a good value. So, and I also feel kind of that way, you know, also about LastPass, but I just got this one. And yeah, by the way, Mommy Guide says your description of VPN was a great description for non-technical people. So thanks, Eric, for that. And then Blind Guy's Wife, their life, the use of VPN keeps me hopeful. Yes. And then my wife says, yeah, he's talking about me. He finally convinced me to adopt it. Ha ha. So, you know, I just was trying to find something. I tried to get her on the Key Pass, and it got, she's an iPhone person, and, you know, she would be a great Android person too, because she's super smart and she works in IT just like I do. But, you know, the family were all, I was the only Android in the house. They were all iPhones. And so it was, you know, I found this and it works on all devices. So that's my plug there for 1Password.
Well, the other one that I recommend to other people is, you guys have heard all the announcements out there whenever you're watching YouTube about NordVPN, NordVPN. Right. Well, they have NordPass as well. Okay. And they have a great product that has the password manager as well for Nord. And Nord is a very good and solid security company. So it's another one that, that, you know, is an option. But again, 1Password has a lot of good features, a lot of good, you know, support, and it's cross-platform. So you should be able to use it anyway. So 1Password and, like I said, NordPass is really good as well.
Hey, and Mommy God says, hi, Donna, what do you think you will get for a password manager? I don't have one yet. So Donna currently is using 1Password. If she wants to comment on what she would prefer, please do, Donna. And then Mommy Guide asked which one's the easiest to use. I think 1Password is very easy to use. I think LastPass is very easy to use. Those are the only two that I personally have worked with. Eric, what do you think is probably the easiest one to use?
Like I said, the two that I would recommend for you would be the 1Password or the NordPass.
Okay.
Those are the two that
I wasn't familiar they were out with one. I knew about their VPN, but I didn't know about their password keeper.
Yeah, NordPass. Great. They have a free version that's one user, unlimited passwords, can even keep your credit cards and your notes. But, you know, then the next one starts like at $2 per month or something like that. So it's an actual really good one. Now, again, the message that I want everybody to hear, the one message, listen, is use a password manager. Doesn't matter which one, use it.
Yep. Definitely agree with that. Donna says, I really like 1Password. It all feels great on my work PC, Mac, phone, super easy to search too. So yes. And Roy does actually share passwords with her. So that's the other part she likes. Cause she's like, what's the password for this? Why don't you ever give me passwords? So here you go. Cause you don't have a password keeper. So that's why. So now I share passwords. I'm obviously not very good at sharing. So.
No.
I just noticed I'm wearing this shirt tonight. This is usually only wear the "No, will not fix your computer" shirt to family get-togethers. You know who you are. Anyway, so all right, Eric, that is awesome. So everybody needs to go out and get a password manager now. It's a done deal. They need to go get one.
And they're not expensive. So of the things that you buy to secure yourself, you know, there are some other systems out there that you do. But the password manager is number one. You can find a free one. Okay, that's number one. Number two, even when you buy one of them, they're cheap. They're like $3, $5, you know, $1 a month. if you will, for some of them. And then if you listen up, sometimes there's like 30% discounts for the year if you buy it for the year. So they're not expensive, but they're an essential piece of your cyber hygiene and your data. You know, I like to tell people that, you know, we need to start looking at security as healthcare. You know, we check our blood, we check our, you know, all that stuff, but we don't check our cyber life. So we call it data care, you know. You know, make sure that your data care is up to date. And one of the things that you can do is get a password manager, because like we said before, it helps you create stronger passwords. And with stronger passwords and two-factor, now you have protected that front door of all your accounts.
Yep. That's cool. Let's see. Mommy God says, okay, Eric and Roy, reminder to self, top things to do this week, get and use a password manager. Yes. Yes, if nothing else, if this episode accomplishes you getting a password manager, I will be very happy. That is my goal, is always, what's your homework? So your homework for this week, go get a password manager. And like Eric said, a lot of them offer deals. If you buy an annual plan, a lot of times you can save over the monthly cost. You know, maybe, like you said, $2 or $3 a month, but then you do the annual plan and it winds up being 75% of that maybe. Or you may find a coupon to get, you know, 30% off, that type of thing. So,
And the other part is, at the beginning, using a password manager might feel like, oh, I've got to open something else. I got to, you know, so it kind of adds a step. And you just, you know, get through that, get into this, you get into that rhythm of you go into web page, you click on the password manager, you select the one, you enter it, autofill, enter, boom, you're in. And you get into that rhythm. And if you do that, it'll become second nature. Like, I don't even think about using my password manager.
Yeah. And the other thing, we didn't talk about this. I know it's off topic, but yet on topic. Your browser should not be your password manager. So Google and Edge and IE all gladly offer to save all your passwords for you, but they don't secure it very well. And so, if your browser got compromised, your passwords would get compromised. But your password keeper, on the other hand...
Let me put it to you this way. If I have access to your computer, I can compromise the password manager on the Chrome or Safari or Edge within about 2 minutes.
Yeah. So...
And if any of my hacker friends are watching... or the red teamers or ethical hackers, they're going to look at me and go, 2 minutes, you're an idiot. But I'm old.
Yeah, they'll say 30 seconds. Anyway, cheap is as good, especially when it's cheap and actually effective. So yes, I definitely agree with you. If it's effective, it's worth every penny. You know, sometimes free costs too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like puppies are really expensive, even though you got it for free, but a password manager is worth the investment, and spend a little bit of money for security. You know, you're gonna buy nice, and you'll be glad you got it. So, Miami Guy says, great advice. At least we know what to expect. Yeah, don't use your browser for your password keeper. I will tell you though, if you have done that, a lot of the password keepers will import those passwords in automatically. They'll import them in for you. They'll also, a lot of them will tell you if your password's been found out on the dark web or been compromised. So 1Password, for example, say, you know, your account has been found out on the dark web. You may want to change the password. There's a site that I haven't been to in like 5 years, but I got a notification today. Hey, by the way, they've been compromised. You may want to go change the password. I'm like, really, I like just eliminate the account entirely. But what are we going to say, sir?
So Lala asked a really good question right now. Should we use a difficult password for the password manager? So the way that the password manager works is you have a 1Password to enter into the password manager. Yes. That is the That needs to be your master password. That is your password that you're going to use to find all your other ones. That is the password that if you lose that, you're in trouble. Some have a very easy way to get in and more user-friendly. That's why we recommend the 1Pass and the NordPass and those, because they have password recovery methods for your master password. If you lose the password on Keeper or one of the OG ones, forget it.
It's gone.
You're not going to find it.
It's
gone. You're not going to find it.
Yeah.
Now, your password for your master password, that is one that you do write down and you put it in the vault and you protect it like it's your life. Okay. But that's going to be the one password that you're going to use every time you need to go into that password vault. Okay.
Yeah. That needs to be the most amazing password that you've ever made. It literally needs to be a really, really complex password that you can remember. I'm not even a fan of writing it down, but yeah, I totally understand that. So go get one of those little fireproof safes with a key lock or something and put it in there, or I'll go put it in a safety deposit box at the bank, but keep that password. It's got to be kept highly secure.
I'll give you a password to use. Love for Cyber Papa. How's that?
Yes, love for Cyber Papa. So we're going to go and talk about some of the ways you can find him on the interwebs. So yeah, free can wind up being what you get, what you pay for. Yes, that is so true. Mommy Guy says, all right, thanks, Eric and Roy. So let's go look at just some of the many places you can find Eric out there. First and foremost, he has a great YouTube channel. So go out there. I meant to have a link doggone to here. I was supposed to have a link there. I'm sorry. I will get.
Well, just search my name. Just
search his name.
Eric Bilardo Cyber. And
it's also in the show notes. It's also in the show notes. I've already put a link to it in my show notes. So if you just go to the show notes to this video, it'll take you right to his channel. You got to go. You got to like and subscribe. You got to like and subscribe mine too.
Yes. And while we're there, hit that like button for this stream. And when this stream is over, come back and comment.
Yes, please do that. That would be awesome. If you're rewatching, same for you. Tell me what your favorite password manager is. Or if you don't have one, tell me why you don't have one. Let's talk about this. This can be group therapy. Go get a password manager. We need to know why you don't have one. So anyway, just great because he keeps you up on cybersecurity news. I like going out watching and seeing different things. Yeah. Yeah. And Mommy Guy says she has been a subscriber ever since I found Eric's channel. Yep. I am also a subscriber. And then he just hit a major milestone. I couldn't like it and subscribe again. I was already a subscriber, but, you know, so anyway. Eric is also out there in the Twitterverse. So let's go hit hit the right one. Nope, the wrong one. There we go. Nope, wrong one. This is when you have buttons. Nope, that would be me. That's not who we want. We don't want that one. All right. Don't you love when tech goes wrong? So here you go. There you go. There is his Twitter handle, eBilardo73 on Twitter. So go out there and hit his Twitter page where he keeps news up to date. That's it right there. And here is... Hang on. Yep, there's his Twitter page, and he posts links to his videos, of course, and news articles he sees and other videos from other people that says you were in trouble. Something bad happened, and you need to go change all your passwords now. So, and much like I do that here on this channel, he goes in a lot more detail than I do because I'm trying to keep the high level. Go do your homework. Go do this. But if you want to know why it happened, you want to know what happened and all the details, Eric is the guy for that. So just fantastic advice that he gives on his channel. And then also this is his organization right here. I want to talk about Racist Cyber
Org. You almost.
That's close.
Okay.
Fix me.
Here you go. So about a year ago, we founded this organization called Racist Cyber Org. And Racist Cyber Org is the Hispanic Association in Cybersecurity. Get it? Hacks. HACS. So we believe in changing the world by creating diversity of thought in cyber. About a year ago, there was a report that only 4% of Hispanic Latinos, Latinas, and Latinx were make up the cybersecurity workforce. So we started a foundation to bring more people into the field of cybersecurity. So we do training at, you know, elementary school level, high school, and transitioning people that are transitioning, you know, from either university, career fields, or anything to bring them into the field of cybersecurity. We had our first virtual conference in December that was attended for by close to 500 people. This year, we're going to have a physical conference, and we're starting a lot of different training groups and stuff. So come to my YouTube. There's some videos on it, and all the information is on my Twitter. So reach out.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. And if you don't know this and you're looking for a job, cybersecurity has a huge shortage. There are not enough people in cybersecurity. So if you're willing to put in the time to learn the field of cybersecurity, you will get a job. There are so many jobs out there. And
as of this year, as of the end of this year, 2021, we ended up with over 600,000 vacancies in the field, just in the United States.
Yeah.
And we can't find the people.
It's crazy. Yeah. So go get that password manager right now. Change all your weak passwords. Just get that done already. You need to be as secure as possible. So yeah, thank you, Roy, for doing it. I know Eric is just awesome. And so I just had to bring him on and figure out something to talk about, right? That was cake. Eric, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. This has been a lot of fun and just amazing information. Thank you for being on here. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And whenever you need me, I'm here to support you.
I appreciate that. I do cover security topics periodically on this show, but you know, I don't always get an opportunity to go into great depth. And so it would be good to bring up sometimes to let people understand why the hack happened and what it means to them. And that's what the purpose of this channel is here's some advice, and here's why I'm giving you this, because I want you to be safe, or I want you to have a great computer experience or great technology experience. How can I help you? And I do tutorials and that type of thing. So, yeah.
And if there's any of the major hacks that happened, just let me know and I'll jump over and help everybody understand what the impacts are.
Yep. All right. Well, that's it. That's our show for tonight. Thank you again, Eric. I really do appreciate it. Everybody.
The One-Off Technology Podcast with your host, Roy Richardson. Each week we cover topics in the news and how they affect you. Sit back, relax, and open your mind.